Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is Bonnie Kay, and every week we bring you this hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments that you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or you can email me at bonk@aol.com. Before I introduce my co-host for the evening, I just want to make a couple of announcements. First, I'm really excited about our upcoming Healing Weekend that will be taking place in September. And I know for some people that sounds like so far away, but this week, we're already in April. So between making plans for the trip and getting everything together, it's actually the first weekend in October for the Healing Weekend. And it's going to be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at a really nice place that's really gave us a great deal, where you'll have the opportunity to meet so many women who are sharing your journey and be able to bond with people who finally understand everything you're feeling. And we'll be having some excellent workshops during our Healing Weekend with some excellent guest speakers. But most importantly, after this weekend, most women walk away from here feeling so validated, supported, and understood for the first time. You know, it's so hard for us to even meet one other person who's going through this experience, but to be surrounded by, you know, several dozen, it's really an amazing time that we all have. New friendships are formed and forged that have lasted for years with women who have been to our Healing Weekends. This is like our 10th year of doing it, my 10th year of doing it. So we used to have them twice a year. Now it's an annual event, and it's taking place in Philadelphia. So if you're interested, please drop me a line at bonk@aol.com. That's BONKAYE at AOL.com. And I will be updating my website sometime in the next week or so as I make the final arrangements. But I am very excited about it. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my co-host for tonight, a man who it seems has been a long time since you've been here, but it's only a month, Brian, right?
That's right. It's only been a month, but I'm glad to be back.
Me too. Dr. Brian Hooper is joining us tonight. He is the end-of-my-month co-host who always brings us enlightenment and who brings understanding. Dr. Hooper is a therapist in Tennessee, in Nashville, and he really has helped so many of our women. So, Brian, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be with you, Bonnie, as always.
And I should also say you've helped so many of the men that I send your way, and I really do appreciate that because
sometimes
a man just has to have the right help in the right direction, right?
Right, and I try to help them do the right thing by the women they have found themselves married to and who they care about very much, but they're starting to live with greater integrity, and it's not always easy. In fact, it's never easy for them or the women. But we try to talk about how to do it in a way that is going to be, you know, the most helpful for everybody involved, including the kids when there are children involved.
That's very true. You know, the most helpful and the least painful for everyone concerned. I was talking to a gentleman today who I've been working with for, you know, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he did tell me that, you know, it's been a horrible time, you know, as far as making that decision. But he has young little children at home. But he said that he couldn't keep living. He said, like, when would be the right time to do it? Should he wait 5 years, 10 years, wait till they're in college, live a fake life all these upcoming years? And I was totally on his side saying, look, you know, the best thing you can do is live a life that's honest. But it won't happen unless you're also supportive to the people who you brought into this marriage. Now that you're leaving it, you still have responsibilities towards them.
Right.
And he seemed very much on board with that. But he did bring up a point that I'd like your opinion as a therapist to know what you think of this.
Sure.
When a couple comes to the blows of having to reveal this news, because it's never good news when you love someone and they're telling you now that they're gay, because it's not kind of like, oh, I had an affair, because an affair can usually end and marriages do repair themselves. You know, sometimes people can get past that. But when you say that, you know, the marriage, you know, I'm gay, that means by, you know, all indicators, the marriage is over. It could never be the same, or it can never be the marriage you expected it to be. So when both parties agree that the marriage is ending, what do you think is a good timeline as far as departing? Because I think that people struggle with this. You know, should they, is there a certain amount of time till the wife gets used to it, till they find a new place? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I never tell folks what to do because they all have to make their own decisions. But I really think it's about, you know, logistics play a big, big part in this. In other words, one has to be as smart as they can be with the situation in which they find themselves. And, you know, and I totally respect the fact that there are some women who say, I'm sorry, with this news, I can't be in the same household with you. We need to be able to do something right away because this is too much. I can't face seeing you every day in the kitchen, you know. And I understand that. And those folks, then they may need to make some accommodations for usually him to live elsewhere. And I think that's fair and just. But for others, it's a matter of saying, okay, well, you know, maybe it's the winter, and that's not a good time to sell their home if they're going to sell. So they have to wait till spring. And if they can be friends, if he can, you know, now sleep in the guest room, and I find that's often the case, that can work out for them. But I don't think you just draw it out forever. I think you have to talk about having a time frame, a plan, and begin to move towards that so that, you know, people can move on with their lives, both the wife as well as, you know, the man who seemed to be her former husband.
I think the problem with these marriages, more so than marriages with straight people, is that women find this full sense of possibilities that it's going to change, that mm-hmm. they feel that if they have, and I know this because I lived through it myself, with what I call the bargaining period.
Yep.
And this is
yep.
the bargaining period of when you say, well, listen, you know, we already know when the cards are on the table, but, you know, if we can stay together 6 months and I try to be a better wife,
yeah.
if I try to do everything I can to make myself better, anything that bothers him about me, I'll try to change.
Right.
And
yeah.
I feel embarrassed saying this, but, I mean, that was me, you know, when my ex and I, decided, you know, when we finally came to some kind of superficial agreement in my head. Of course,
right.
I couldn't even say the word gay. I said the word bisexual because back then we didn't understand that. But I
right.
said, even if he wants to be with somebody every 6 months and I don't have to know about it, it's a consenting adult, I can live with that. You know, so I told him, look, if you have to go off every 6 months and do something and I don't have to know about it, then I can live with that. I won't be happy, but I'm not going to break up a marriage over it because I was naive. You know, in my 20s, back in the 80s, we didn't know anything. So the thing is that I think even today that women are naive when it comes to this, that they say, look, if we can get along for 6 months, why not make it another 6 months? And even if you have once in a while go do your thing, then why can't we still stay together?
And I think that you make a very good point. I think that there is a lot of that that happens. On the
mm-hmm.
other side of it, I see men who, I'm thinking one case individual, a delightful gentleman, cares very much about his wife and family. And, you know, the first, when he came out, she was very gentle and said, oh, well, okay. And he felt so relieved and so liberated that it for a very brief period of time, positively affected their sex lives, and thought, oh, maybe I'm not, you know. And this is
mm-hmm.
not unusual. So there's this second honeymoon that happens because a person is, the man is so relieved to be at least accepted,
mm-hmm.
that there's this new freedom, and they think, okay, well, maybe we can make this work, only to find that, a week or two later, it can't be sustained because it's really not authentic. There's the idea of being, I call it being in love with being in love. Being in love.
Or else, I think a lot of times for gay men, what I found is that they go out there, and as soon as their heart is crushed within a few weeks, which often happens, then they run back home thinking, you know what, maybe it wasn't as exciting and maybe I wasn't really sexually aroused, but at least it was safe. At least somebody's there who loved me, somebody I could count on. And they come home and they beg for another chance, saying that they can change. And women are so desperate to feel like they can, and, you know, that they saw the light and that they don't want to. See, women a lot of times think that gay is about just sex. They don't understand that that's not what this is. Is about who a person is in every way, not just sexually. You know, and so they think that, okay, he tried it, he didn't like it, and he's really not gay. He had to get it out there and, you know, to see it for himself. And so, again, it's another big delay until things get back to abnormal, because they do. And I think just by dragging it out, you know, I just think emotionally, I'm not saying you have to walk out that day, but I always say have a game plan. And, you know, like, because he was saying to me, well, maybe one night I'll be out for one night, and next week I'll do two nights. I think that really wears on a woman more. You know, because you just never know. And, you know, it's just building up to what's inevitably coming, and it's just painful, you know, when
yeah.
you go back and forth. I think that
right.
you have to come to a decision, and it has
well,
to go.
That keeps people conflicted. And
mm-hmm, exactly.
We want, the reason for coming out was to try to stop being conflicted in the first place. So why promote more conflict, right, in the individual and in the relationship? And when I say conflict, I don't mean fighting. But what
right.
I mean is a confliction of deepest values and truth that people are experiencing. But what I shared with you about sort of this honeymoon thing that I could hear men saying is not unusual. It's not at all unusual. They say, well, let's give it the old college try one more time. And they're very sincere about that. But, of course, it can't be sustained. And then again, to the women who would say, well, you know, go ahead and do it once a month, whatever. I don't need to know about it. It's
right.
With your position for a while. Again, I would ask them, is that really what you want? And is that, you know, what you signed up for? And true, in marriages, we accommodate ourselves to exigencies that we don't anticipate when we're married, but this is a categorical exception. This is not somebody who's coming down with cancer.
Right.
You know, or something that can be treated, or, you know, this is, like, completely different than one of the, in my book, challenges that comes into life, like, oh, you have an issue with alcohol. Well, we need to deal with that. And I'm not saying, you know, being gay, as a gay man, I am not saying, you know, those things are equivalent at all. I'm just saying these are not the, finding yourself married to a gay man when you're a woman is not something that you can anticipate as a possibility when you got married, or you wouldn't have done it.
Right, exactly. And along those lines, since we're talking about that, one of the issues we were going to discuss tonight is the issue of transgenderism, which right now is a big hot topic that you hear so much about. And this was something that probably was always there, but because people couldn't come out and talk about it, it was hard enough discussing the gay aspect of life. Transgender people really didn't understand. And to this date, I think a lot of people, including me, don't understand certain aspects of it. Was it something that, even though it was always there, Brian, it's just coming out now, so it's relatively new to us. You know, you had a Christine Jorgensen many years ago, I remember when I was growing up, and maybe like one or two others that would somehow hit the limelight. But for the most part, this is not something that is very familiar territory to many of us.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, you spend a lot more time as far as, you know, the LGBT, well, I know the letters sometimes get the other way, but the LGBT, okay, but anyway, with the,
I also wonder when we're going to add yet another letter, you know, but I don't.
Yeah, I heard now it's LGBTA, you know, like I hear the letters keep getting bigger and longer, but
well, and that's because
you must be more,
I, you know,
aware of it.
In the sense of that, I don't think it's a silly thing. I think it is it's the fact that, you know, human sexuality is in some ways very nuanced. But why don't we just do a quick review of the basics? How about we start there, okay?
All right, so I'm going to let you do that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So let's just talk about categories by which we understand human sexuality. First of all, there's biological sex, and those are those things that we can objectively measure, like sexual organs and XX chromosome for the female and XY chromosomes for the male. That's one aspect of human sexuality, okay? The next that would be, next I think in familiarity, would be probably sexual orientation, because it's been, really has been in the news since the 70s in a big way. And that is about who we are erotically and affectionately attracted to. So if you're heterosexual, you're exclusively attracted erotically and affectionately to a member of the same biological or the opposite biological sex of yourself if you're heterosexual. And if you're homosexual, you're attracted to a person of the same biological sex. Okay? But in addition to that, there's also gender identity. So I happen to be born as a male, and I identify with that. That feels right to me. I don't feel like a woman. I feel like a man. That's my identity. Okay? And in terms of gender expression, do I dress and comport myself in a way that is consistent. No, let me edit that. Do I dress and comport myself in a way which is understood to be in our culture, feminine or masculine. And I dress and comport myself in a way towards the masculine end of the scale. And then there's so that's gender expression. So we talked about orientation, biological sex, gender expression, and gender identity. So what is a person, how would we describe a person who is transsexual? So let's start with a person who is born with biological sex of a male, okay? That person understands, I'm going to say herself because that's how she understands herself. She understands herself, though born with male genitalia and XY chromosome, understands herself to be a woman and not a man. So, her gender expression is going to be towards the feminine end of the scale. She's going to dress and comport herself in a way probably towards that end of the scale, though not always. And then sexual orientation, she may or may not be attracted to males. So just because a person is transitioning towards the opposite of their biological sex doesn't mean they're going to be attracted erotically and effectively towards the sex that they were born into. So let me give you, for instance, I heard a speaker who was born biologically female, transitioned to male, and married a woman. That seems consistent with how you and I would think, right?
Right.
In other words, it would be what we would expect of a heterosexual couple. Once we got her figured out, you know, she figured herself out and became biologically conforming to her understanding of herself, the woman. I'm sorry, we went from male to female, didn't we? That was the example. So let me start again. Person's born biologically male, become a female biologically, and then marries somebody who is male. That begins to look like a heterosexual relationship once the biology is straightened out. But that's not always the case. We have some people who are born biologically male, they transition to female, and they are in love with another female. So they are transgender, same sex attracted. So, you know, it gets confusing for me, and I'm more familiar with this than most people are. So I think where we start, though, is by asking a person, what do you experience inside? And I feel grateful that inside I feel like male, and biologically I was born a male. I'm just attracted to other males.
Well, to me it seems so much simpler to talk about gay and straight, or I'll even throw the B in there for people who want to think they're bisexual. I'm not quite sure how the T gets into there, because I'm not even quite sure that it's quite the same. Would you say it is?
No, I don't think it is the same. And again, my disclaimer is my area of expertise is working with gay men, but I'm trying to be very honest and authentic what I say. So please understand it that way. But I think it is easier to talk about gay or straight than it is about transsexual, because we're not talking about a biological kind of reassignment that takes place, and we're not talking about gender identity, we're not talking about biological reassignment, and we're not talking about gender expression. But a person who is born a male but understands herself to be female inside are. They are a female in a male body. It just doesn't, it feels inconsistent to them to be in the body they're in. And I think that's a very different experience than being a gay or a lesbian person.
Right. And I think that a lot of gay people would feel that same way, that it is a different experience. Although, I think it is.
I'll be honest with you, in the gay community, transgender people experience a lot of prejudice against them, which to me...
Exactly.
It's almost unthinkable, because I want to say to my fellow gay men, hey guys, you're doing to them what you've experienced at the hands of others. Stop it. You know?
I think that's a hard issue too, but I guess I wanted to talk about it tonight because I haven't had a lot of women. I've had 6 women in the last 5 months come to me in this situation. And all I can do is kind of see where I feel on an emotional scale where they are, of appreciating how difficult this is, and that it's like you say, Brian, it's not what you signed up for. It wasn't what you went into the marriage expecting. And now this is being thrust on you. And I see that from some of the stories the women have told me, how difficult it is for them, you know, especially with people who know them, for their children who all of a sudden had a mom and a dad, and now they have a mom and a mom, and that second mom is their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's traumatizing for them and stigmatizing also because people don't understand this at all. I mean, I think that gay people are starting to understand better. I'm not saying people accept it better, but at least they kind of understand it better. But with this,
right.
I think people are really thrown off track. And like they're saying, for instance, well, if somebody's born inside a different body, why can't they just accept that and go with, they come up with all kinds of things. And I'm not quite sure how this works.
They can't live with that any more than I could live with trying to play the part of a straight man when I'm not.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But do you think that they've always felt that there was something different about them, as gay people do?
Absolutely. That's all the reports that I hear. It's not my lived experience, but everything that I read, yes.
But they went ahead and got married because they were hoping that that might change, or because they felt they had no options, or the same thing you think as with gay people?
All of the above, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be particular to each person. Hey, just to give the ladies who are listening, and perhaps some gentlemen too, just to give them a tool that could be very helpful for them to kind of parse through what I went through quickly about distinguishing gender identity, expression, biological sex and sexual orientation, to give them a little tool, just Google genderbread person, GENDERBREAD person, and you'll see a really neat graphic. There are a couple different versions. 2.0 is, of course, the latest. And it puts it in a form that you can begin to wrap your mind around a little bit more easily, because it's a really nice visual. And you can begin to think of the persons that you know and care about that may not be, you know, conforming to being straight or gay. It gives you a way to understand everyone, really, on 4 different scales.
I think also women have asked me, is this similar to cross-dressing or transvestites, or, you know, men who have to dress as women and who take on those characteristics of the women when they're talking in a kind of over-the-top way, is it?
They should be distinguished. Not all people who choose to cross-dress have the experience of being transgender or transgendering at all. Some do, but not all. There are plenty of gay men who will cross-dress because it satisfies And I don't pretend to understand this myself, and I don't work with cross-dressing men. So, you know, again, I'm not going to say too much about it, but I do know that not all gay men who cross-dress, in fact, I think very few, have the sense that they're really transgender. Some do it for the art of playing a role, and they enjoy that. But at the end of the night, you know, the clothes go back in the closet and the wig in the box, and they're out, you know, doing construction the next day.
I have somebody who I'm friends with who's in the situation with cross-dressing. He is a gay male, and he does like to cross-dress or dress up. But he
definitely what did he tell you about that? What did he tell you about?
I said, do you think you're transgender? He said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
He said, I'm a gay man. He said, mm-hmm. I think it's fun dressing up sometimes, not all the time, but
mm-hmm.
at a party or going out with people. You
yeah.
know, I guess it's called camp or whatever it is. And
you know, it's interesting. We teach children, we say to them, oh, get off the computer, go outside and play, you know, engage
mm-hmm.
in make-believe, that kind of thing. But as adults in this country, at least, we're not all that comfortable with play. And, you know, I'm saying is this is some people's version of play. And if nobody gets hurt, who am I to object, right?
Mm-hmm. I have this one article where it says the concepts of gender identity and transgender identity differ from that of sexual orientation. Sexual
right.
orientation describes an individual's enduring physical, romantic, emotional, and or spiritual attraction to another person, while gender identity is one's personal sense of being a man or a woman.
Right.
Transgender
exactly right.
people have more or less the same variety of sexual orientations as cisgender people.
Right.
In the past, the term...
Bonnie, just for folks who are listening, cisgender
mm-hmm.
means that it's cystonic, meaning that you are born a female and you feel comfortable in your body as a female. That's cisgender.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying
okay.
that.
Yeah.
In the past, the terms homosexual and heterosexual were incorrectly used to label transgender individual sexual orientation based
right.
on their birth sex. Professional literature now uses terms such as attracted to men, attracted to women, and attracted to both, or attracted to neither, to describe
right.
a person's sexual orientation without reference to their gender identity. Therapists
right.
are coming to understand the necessity of using terms with respect to their clients' gender identities and preferences. For example, a person who is assigned male at birth transitions to female and is attracted to men would be identified as a heterosexual. Let me go back and read that line. A person who is assigned male at birth, in other words, they're born as a male.
Biological sex is male.
Transitions to being a female.
Right.
And is now attracted to men, would be identified as a heterosexual instead of a gay man because he's now a woman.
Correct.
Okay. Despite the distinction between sexual orientation and gender, throughout history, the gay, lesbian, bisexual subculture was often the only place where gender-variant people were socially accepted in the gender role they felt they belonged to, especially during the time when legal or medical transitioning was almost impossible. This acceptance has a complex history. Like the wider world, the gay community and the Western societies did not generally distinguish between sex and gender identity until the 1970s, and often perceived gender-variant people as more as homosexuals who behaved in a gender-variant way than as gender-variant people in their own right. Today, members of the transgender community often struggle to remain part of the same movement as lesbian, gay, and bisexual citizens and to be included in rights protections.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not sure if it's really that much related. Why would it be?
I'm sorry, ask the
why,
question
why would
again.
It be still really related to gay. Because it's really not related to gay, right?
No, that's right. That's right.
This is a whole different phenomenon altogether.
Right. But still, if you're a woman married to a man who says, I'm really a transsexual woman and I'm seeking to now conform myself to that.
Right.
Again, that's not what you signed up for. He can't, well, I should say she, the person that's transitioning, can't any more will that to change than the gay man can will himself back into, a heterosexual orientation.
One of the women I was working with 2 weeks ago, she told me that her husband was transitioning. And one of the things that I did question, but we'll talk about this at a later time, how long does that transitioning take? But from what I've read, it's a process. You can't just go in and say, okay, I'm now a woman. Let's get rid of what I have, underneath. Now, this is something that really takes a lot of psychological counseling, where they want to make sure, even if you've gone through the hormonal treatments, if you've grown breasts, if you have your hair and your facial hair is removed, and you look very feminine, that they still want to make sure that, you have to have a period of waiting before you do that. But the point is that with this woman, her husband, was not certainly at that point. He did the hormonal treatments. He grew breasts. He grew hair. He identifies himself as a woman. He wears women's clothes. And he wants to have a lesbian relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that he's a woman, now that he's a she, she's very attracted to the wife. That part didn't change.
Right.
But she felt very much at odds that she said she just didn't feel she could do that. And she feels bad, but I said, you don't have to feel bad. I mean, a lot of us aren't equipped to handle this, right?
Right. Well, and she's not a lesbian. So why would she want to be sexually with?
Well, that's what she said. She's not a lesbian.
It was transgender female. Right.
So
right.
Even though it's the husband, it's not the husband anymore. It would have to be, female. So these are really difficult questions. I know that people read about famous people who are now transgender, especially in view of it started a few years ago when Sonny and Cher's daughter, became Chaz. And that was introduced on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago. And, you saw a young girl growing up, because I certainly watched her growing up, and now all of a sudden that young, cute girl who was on with Sonny and Cher on their TV show is now a man. It is confusing. I'm sorry to say it, but it's just confusing to the mind. Maybe not the intellect, but to my mind. And then when you see Bruce Jenner, who is supposedly this big Olympic, champion and Mr. Macho Man, all of a sudden now he's transitioning too. And then I think I mentioned to you that I saw this ad on I saw a story on television the other day, I think on CBS News, about this young transgender boy into girl who's now the spokesperson for this acne medicine. And they're so excited that they're doing this because it's recognizing people who are, different, or who have differences, and now he's being the spokesperson for the, for it. Then I see here in my own town that 3 people in 1 school have decided they're transgender and they want to be treated, in a separate way and recognized for what they are. And now I'm wondering, how big an issue do you think this is, Brian? I mean, do you have any concept of this at all?
I really don't have a concept of the frequency. I'd have to look up the stats just like you would. But I do think that...
is it more often than we think, do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's not that infrequent. But the other thing is that we can talk about it today, that there are, biological treatments available for folks who find themselves transgender. And...
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even have the space in society to breathe this much before. You had to go to a foreign country to get the surgery before. And now it, of course, can happen here.
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, this goes to a very deep level in folks, to archetypal levels in folks' psyche. I find what's, I mean, and I don't relate to what it's like to be a transsexual person. I have to approach it with the same sense of wonder and reverence that a straight person would, because it's simply just completely out of my experience. But I do know with anything that I don't understand, if it's a cultural difference, if it's an orientation difference, if I move from needing to put it in a box or criticize it to a place of just being curious with respect, I relax a whole lot more, and I'm able to hear what other people are telling me about their experience. And I can hear with the heart, and I can hear from a place of love. And I just found for me that really is very, very helpful.
One of the things I really believe in is that regardless of whether we understand it or not, we have to show tolerance and acceptance that people are different. And by doing that and acknowledging that, then they wouldn't be so afraid to have to live their authentic life. And
right.
It comes back to us. Yes, it does. Because when people can't be who they are, they're going to try to be someone who they're not. And then
right.
they end up marrying, hoping that these feelings will go away. Like gay people
Thank
marry
you.
Us, hoping that they won't be gay anymore.
Right,
our, their
right.
love
and
for us will overwhelm everything else, right?
Right. And if you just make such a great point, and thank you for living with that kind of integrity, and that's so, so important that, yes, if we give people the space to be authentic, then they won't be forced into making decisions that ultimately will make other people, you know, part of their misery.
Right, and I think that it's getting better. It's not great as far as gay people getting married, because of the fact that there's so much pressure still from religious organizations, religious families. And I always tell people, as much as you want to tell me that gay people have really come a long way, okay, so they've come some way. I mean, it's certainly a lot better than it used to be, but they can't delude themselves into thinking that our society as a whole is accepting of this, because they're not. I mean, look on what's going on in Indiana right now. Have you been following that?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. So the Indiana law, which is billed as a religious freedom law, goes beyond the federal laws that have been in place, so that it's been written to make clear that businesses can use it against civil rights suits brought by individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So that, there's nothing mentioned about a gay or lesbian in it, but when you look at the key players behind the law, they're all extremely anti-gay people. So it's a backlash against the movement forward for same-sex marriage in this country.
Yeah, was there something that started that, that got to that point in Indiana?
I think lobbying efforts are a big part of that.
Of course, Indiana's saying that it has nothing to do with gay.
I know, but when you look at who it is that's standing behind the governor of Indiana when he's signing the legislation into law, it becomes, it becomes very, very clear. One fellow, Micah Clark, believes that being gay is a treatable disorder, and he raged against a lesbian high school student over a prom tuxedo, and Kurt Smith equates homosexuality with bestiality and adultery, and he helped to write the bill. And Eric Miller claiming that pastors could be jailed for preaching against homosexuality after same-sex marriage passed. Well, that's, you know, patently not true. Clergy can still say what they want to say from the pulpit. They have the right to do that, but they don't have the right to overturn law. You know, and these are men who are pictured with the governor when he's signing the legislation. So, you know, they were careful not to use the language, but the law itself can be used against gay and lesbian people, but it can also be used against other people. You know, it's against my religion, somebody says, to serve, you know, to serve coffee to people who are Muslims. So no Muslims allowed. That's just not... just simply not appropriate. There's no compelling interest for the government to support that kind of bigotry. In fact, it's really against, I think, the best interest of the whole populace.
Now, I'm not sure if I'm right on this story because I saw this on television and I'm not even sure if it's related to this because I just didn't have the time to look at it, but I think I saw an issue that started over a wedding cake. Are you familiar with that? Like the wedding was for two women, and the baker didn't want to bake it. He felt like, you know, I'm not for gay marriage. I'm not going to get him a cake. You know, it goes against what my personal beliefs are.
Right.
So he refused, and I think that's where this started becoming an issue. Does somebody have the right to refuse you based on, if they're a business person...
Right.
And they're open for business. Do they have the right to say who's coming to their business?
I don't think so. I think they have the right to say no shoes, no shirt, no service, because that applies to everybody that walks the door. No?
That's
it true. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Lutheran or Muslim, no shoes, no shirt, no service. That applies. But to say, I'm sorry, we only serve, you know, Protestant Christians in this place, all others need not enter the door. I just think ethically that's completely wrong and a frivolous claim to religious freedom. If you're open for
kind of like Chick-fil-A, how about Chick-fil-A? Here's a restaurant, a fast food restaurant, where they're closed on Sundays because they feel it's a holy day.
So if you're Muslim or if you're Christian or if you're Jewish, you can't eat there on Sundays. But that's not excluding any one individual group. It says we just choose to be closed on Sunday. Fully for them. Good for them.
But on the other hand, Chick-fil-A is also very anti-gay.
Well, that's a problem, isn't it? Problem for me.
It is. Because they're not anti-gay, anti-Jewish, anti-white, you know, they're just anti-gay.
Right.
So once you're anti-anybody, then you're setting up that possibility that the next group will be right next alongside you.
Right, exactly. So when do we start saying, you know, no blacks allowed, no Jews allowed, no Lutherans allowed? No, you know, I mean, it just is, I thought we put an end to that.
Right, and that's where I think the danger of this Indiana bill is.
Absolutely.
The fact that when you start excluding groups of people because you don't agree with their who they are or how they live, then that is an issue. I mean, especially people who, to be honest with you, Brian, I mean, if they weren't out, then people wouldn't know they're gay. These are people who are educators, who are politicians, who are sports people. You know, they're in every single aspect of public life and private life. You know, gay people, unless somebody says that they're gay, I mean, you wouldn't be able to know in many cases. So now, because people can identify as who they are, now they're going to have to be discriminated against because of it? That makes no sense to me at all.
Makes no sense to me either.
But I do know that Indiana is a very corrupt state, so it doesn't surprise me. But that's why when people tell me that things are better than they used to be, they're not better when you have laws that are discriminating against people who are gay. You can't tell me that's better.
And we have citizens of the United States who, because they couldn't get capital punishment for being gay in this country passed, they have exported it to the African continent,
mm-hmm.
and now it's law in more than one country there that if you're found to be gay or lesbian, you can be put to death. And
mm-hmm.
you know, we can thank a number of religious leaders from this country for exporting that kind of human rights abuse. So it's not just in this country, it's around
mm-hmm.
the world that still remains a very, very big issue.
In some countries, it's so illegal that they kill you just for being gay.
That's what I'm saying. It's
And how about ISIS a couple of weeks ago? They took somebody who was gay and threw him off like a 20-story building for being gay.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
It was very upsetting.
The
poor man was gay.
What kind of fundamentalism it is, it
mm-hmm.
all does the same thing, you know. It all does the same thing.
And some of those worse. When you get thrown off a 20-story building, that's even worse. But the fact is that a lot of cultures are the same.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And they're never going to change. Look what happens in Uganda. I have a young man who came to me from Uganda that his brother is gay and it's affecting their whole family because, you know, the government said, well, if he's going to be gay, then you're going to have to suffer for it. And he's petrified there.
Of course. Of course.
And how do you get rid of ignorance like that?
I have had, you know, been contacted by people from Middle Eastern countries who...
Mm-hmm.
living the same kind of terror.
Exactly. I had a young woman write to me today that she, you know, she's married to somebody from Syria, and if he goes gay, then, you know, publicly, they're going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell me that gay is really coming a long way. Maybe it's coming further in this country than in other places. And maybe in certain European countries it's more acceptable, but in other places it's getting worse than ever. It's just less mm-hmm. acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people have to suffer because of it, and that's what hurts me most of all. And I get letters from women in India, in Africa, in the Middle East, telling me how they can't leave their marriages because they're not allowed to leave them, and yet they know their husbands are gay because they've seen them with, you know, men, or they've seen porno. And their husbands won't touch them. And this is the stigma they're going to have to be living with, God knows for how long.
Right.
But
yep.
It's a terrible lack of quality of life, wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's they have nowhere to go in those countries because
mm-hmm.
they're absolutely dependent on the men because the women don't have civil rights as they have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And even here, oh, there's still prejudice, right? For women.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I do want to tell you that I checked out how many transgender people are estimated in the country.
Okay.
So, first I'll go over the gay totals with you.
Okay.
If you had to guess how many gay women there are in the country, what would you think?
I have no idea. I mean, I could talk about percentages, but I don't know the numbers.
Okay, how about percentages? What would you think?
I would say it's probably something like, you know, is it close to one in 10?
It's a little bit higher. It says that percent of number of adults who identify as lesbian, gays, bisexual, transgender. So as far as the lesbians, it's 2.2% or 2,648,000. And I think that's a lot of people, right?
A lot of people, right.
As far as transgendered are concerned, well, for men, it's 2,491,000, like 2.2%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sorry, I gave you the first number wrong. For gay women, lesbian women, it's 1,359,000, but there's over 2.5 million who identify as bisexual. For men, it's almost 2.5 million that identify as gay, and maybe 1.5 million as bisexual.
Yeah.
But for the transgender...
These are the folks who identify as. So this is
mm-hmm.
not this is not accounting for all of those who are not yet out.
Right.
Right. So this is not going to be the same numbers as when we do more anonymous research questions. Okay, so go on.
Yeah, this is percent and number of adults who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender in the U.S. And then for transgender, I mean, it's a lot more than I thought. For transgender, it's 0.3% or 697,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yep.
You know, so this is a silent minority also. But I'm still not quite sure if it belongs in with the LGB group. When did the T get added on, do you know?
I'm really not sure, to be honest with you.
I think maybe in the last 5 years. I didn't really hear about it before that.
I know that even... folks who identify as bisexual still don't feel at home in the gay and lesbian community, and oftentimes they're not that welcomed either.
I know. I feel sad because a lot of people will not become who they are because they don't identify with a quote-unquote community. And I tell this to men. I said, you don't have to be part of a community to be who you are.
Right.
You know, that's an option for men who need others for support, who want to go out and do gay things, you know, with other men, or with, you know, either way. But it doesn't mean that you have to be part of it to be gay. I think that confuses men a lot also, Brian. If they don't feel comfortable going to a bar, they don't feel comfortable going to a soccer game, a gay soccer game, or a men's music choir, then therefore they don't fit in, so therefore they must not be gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people tell me that.
Or the men who say, "Yeah, I'm bisexual because look, I married a woman and I have children.
Exactly.
I'm able to perform sexually, so I must be bi." And and they're having to, you know, ease into what it means to be gay.
Do you think that some people thought they were gay when they were transgender growing up, or they were confused? Or you think they always knew it was distinguishable?
That's a really good question. I don't think I can speculate on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I would imagine it to be the case only because I know that with some youth, they're so confused about what it is to be gay or lesbian that they're not sure what to call it. You know, they are. So I can imagine that for trans people. But again, that's just what I can conjure in my imagination. I really don't have any data on that.
I think as more and more time passes and more of this comes to the forefront of our learning, because it's still a big field out there that's kind of being navigated for people who have lived it all their lives. Excuse me, they're more familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the general public, it's relatively new. And people have talked about it in the past, when I look at all the different identities, the different categories that, you know, are on the transgender postings, it's like really mind-boggling. And all I can tell women is the same thing you would tell them. You know, this is something that's very difficult to live with. You don't have to feel guilty. And that's not that you didn't love your husband, because you can't go along with this. But this is not what you were going into marriage for.
Right.
And your husband at that time, for whatever reasons, was hoping that he would work out as a man, but he's not. And you don't have to feel compelled to stay or feel guilty about it, right?
Exactly. And that's my perspective exactly. Hey, as we're getting close to the end, one more thought. This is a cool quote that comes from the HBO show. I think it's HBO. Forgive me if I'm wrong. It's called Parent, about the father and husband who is recognized that he's actually a transsexual woman and is making the transition, and his daughter says to him, "Are you going to be dressing up like a woman from here on?" And the response is something like, "No, I was dressing up before." In other words, dressing up as a man before.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been doing my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to just be me. I mean, that's my paraphrase of it. And I just found that little snippet very poignant. We stop, when people live with authenticity and integrity, they stop dressing up as something they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And not just on the outside, but on the inside.
Yeah, I just think it's a big haul to get adjusted to it. I know that women have a tough enough time getting used to gay. You know, that's hard enough to come to terms with. But then to come to terms with this, I think it's just that much more difficult. But that's what we're there for, to give support to people who need it. And if you are listening to this broadcast and you are struggling with this, you're a woman and you need support, please feel free to contact me and I'll hook you up with support at bondk@aol.com. And if any of you are struggling in general with life and need the best therapist you can possibly go to, Dr. Brian Hooper is your man. And I know that not everybody can get to Nashville, but Dr. Hooper does counseling via phone or via Skype. So even though you may not be sitting right next to him, you'll be with him, at least in mind and spirit, and he will really help you get to figure out what the right answers are for either you, your husband, or both of you. So let's tell them how to get in touch with you, Brian.
Yeah, probably the best way is go to my website. All my contact information is there, and that is Dr. and then my name, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Hooper, H-O-O-P-E-R.com, Dr. BrianHooper.com.
That's really great, Brian. And you have a beautiful website that people can go visit and read all about the work that you do.
Thank you.
And you can find that. Tell them your website address.
Well, that is my website address. It's drbrianhooper.com. We've got some videos on there, lots of narrative, some resources.
Right, I'm sorry. So they can contact you through there, right?
Exactly. My phone number's there. They can get my email address. Send me an email through the website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
All right. Well, Brian, another wonderful show, and thank you so much for your insight. And we want to wish all of our listeners a happy holiday week, regardless of what you're celebrating. You know, the spring is here, and that's worth celebrating in and of itself for so many of us who went through such tragic winters this year.
Mm.
But it is holiday time for those of you who celebrate Easter. Happy Easter. For those who are of my Jewish faith, happy Passover to all of you.
Yep.
You have a wonderful week, and we'll be back here next week with Suzette. And love to all of you, Brian. Thank you so much, and love to you, Brian.
Hey, love to you, Bonnie. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
win, that I can make life move again. In the groove again, taking a chance on love. I'm walking round with a horseshoe, and in clover I lie. Why, Mr. Rabbit, of course you better kiss your foot goodbye. On the ball again, I'm riding for a fall again. I'm gonna give my all again, taking a chance on love. I'm feeling fine again, that's why I'll rise and shine again. Now I'm on my mind again, taking a chance on love. I see, boy, I'm hooked in. I'm in the swim and